Turn your Bibles with me to John, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Let's start reading in verse 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son and Savior of the world, as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would give us clear understanding of your word this morning, that you would help us to know what it means to truly love one another, what it means to have you abiding in us and us abiding in you. And Lord, help us to know what it means to have your Spirit guiding and directing us in this love that you want us to display. I pray, Father, that today we would learn how to display Christ-like love to each other. And not only that, that you would motivate us by your Holy Spirit to display that love. I thank you for this time together. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hammett Beyer said of this passage, "There is no other passage in the Bible as clear, simple, and profound dealing with divine love and brotherly love and the mutual relationship between them." Now, it is clear from this passage that Jesus wants the driver of our lives to be his love. It is his love that should motivate us to love others. This had been a difficult time in the church, and difficult times sometimes strain our love for one another. It can test our love. And what we need to see is Jesus wants us to love each other even in those difficult, stressful times. You know, sometimes when things aren't going so good or a problem arises, it is easy to attack and blame each other when the problems arise in our lives. It's easy for us to do that, to attack others and to blame others in our lives for the problems that surround us. This is not the time for us to do that, however. This is when Jesus wants us to have a reaction to our difficulties that is opposite of that, one that displays Christ-like love. That is what we need to do in our lives. This is a command from God for us to love one another as Christ has loved us. Not just any love, but the love that comes from him, because he is love, or the source of true love. Now, a lot of times we hear this phrase misinterpreted. This is just one of God's characteristics. It's not the whole definition of God. It's one of the defining characteristics of him. God is also called light, but we know he's also love. Okay? God is love. That's one of his characteristics. And he is the true source of love. And we need to see that he is that true source. Now, let me ask you a question.
Let me ask you a question.
Could you really know who God is if you never saw his love displayed? Could you really know who God is if you never saw his love displayed? No, you couldn't. That's the answer. No, everyone who truly knows Jesus has experienced the display of his love in their lives. This is clearly stated to us in this passage of Scripture. To know God is to know his love and to experience that love. If you haven't experienced his love in your life, then you don't know him. So you have to be, it has to be displayed to you somehow. And that display of his love, we're going to see, comes through what he has done through his son Jesus, but it's also supposed to come through us as Christians showing the love of Jesus Christ. Nobody's going to come to the Father except they see the display of the love of Jesus Christ. And he uses us as Christians to display that love. So we need, that's why we're commanded to love one another. Displaying Christian love can also help us in our relationship with Jesus, because we will need to be close to him in order to display his love. So, how can we be consistently displaying Christian love? I believe this passage before us will give us the answer to that question. So let's take a look at this passage and see how we can display Christian love. Look at verse 9 again. Look at verse 9. It says, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Now, we can display Christian love by knowing the characteristics of Christ-like love. By knowing the characteristics of it. We can't do something that we don't know about. We have to know what real Christ-like love is. So, we're given a wonderful, perfect example of that by God himself, by Jesus himself. Jesus himself is our best example of the characteristics we need to know in order to display Christian love. Out of love, God sent his only Son to die on the cross for us. Out of love, Jesus voluntarily endured the hardship of paying for our sins with his own life so that we could have eternal life. Despite our lack of love for him, he still loved us to the point of ultimate sacrifice to pay for our sins and eternal life. Now think about that for a moment. Oftentimes we say, well, I would love that person if they would act right towards me. If they would act a little bit more civil towards me, I'd love that person. But understand, as people were spitting and mocking Jesus, he loved them so much that he still went to the cross for them. That's the kind of love Jesus has for us. And that's the kind of love he wants us to display to others. That is the kind of love he perfectly displayed to us. In Jesus' act of redemption for our lives, he displayed every characteristic of true love. Now, fortunately, in the Bible, we have a list of character traits about love, and that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 for a moment. I want us to read the whole chapter because it is a wonderful explanation of what love really is. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says this, starting in verse 1, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanking cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Wow. Now that says a lot about what we're supposed to be like, doesn't it? The greatest of these is love. If anything should define our Christian walk, it should be our love for others and our love for God. If anything should define it, even if we have faith that God can do anything, it's not as great as us showing love for others. Even though we have great hope in the Lord, if we show love, then we are involved in something very great. Now, the characteristics here. Time will not allow me to go through the characteristics here, detailing each one. But you get the point. As you read the list, I'm sure God spoke to your heart about one or two of these anyways. Maybe rudely or, suffering long, not being patient with others, things like that. There's a lot there. Someday I'm going to preach through 1 Corinthians, and that'll be about four sermons right there in that passage. But here's what we need to understand. As we want God to show his love through us, we have the knowledge available to us to know exactly what that love looks like. You can go to 1 Corinthians 13 and look at this today, tomorrow, the next day, whenever, and say, Lord, help me to be kind to others. Help me not to envy others. Help me not to be proud in my heart. Help me not to be rude towards others. Help me not to provoke others. Help me to rejoice in your truth so that I can show the kind of love that you want me to. This is what we need to understand. So this sacrificial love of Jesus will show in our lives by these characteristics. These are the character traits that he wants to show. Now, as we look back at verse 11 in 1 John chapter 4, it says, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. Now, this is how we ought to love one another, because this is the way Jesus loved us. That's what we need to understand. We need to come to the Lord and his love. We need to come to his love, first of all, Because if we haven't experienced His love, we can't show it to others. But when you know and when you come to His love, then you will be able to experience it and be able to show that love towards others. There's an illustration from Brian Chappell. It says this: several years ago, my wife Kathy and a friend took their kids to the St. Louis Zoo. Big Cat Country had just opened, which took the lions and tigers out of their cages and allowed them to roam in large enclosures. Visitors could observe the cats by walking on elevated skyways above the habitats. As my wife and her friend took the children up one of the skyway ramps, a blanket got tangled in a stroller wheel. Kathy knelt to help untangle the wheel while our preschool boys went ahead. When Kathy looked up, she discovered that the boys had walked through a small gap in the fencing and had climbed up the rocks some 25 feet from the lion pen. Pointing to the lions below, they called back to their mother, "Hey, Mom, we can see them!" They had no concept of how much danger they were in. But what could Kathy do? If she screamed, she might startle the boys perched precariously above the lions. The gap in the fence was too small for her to get through. So she knelt down, spread out her arms, and said, "Boys, come get a hug." They came running for the love that saved them from the danger greater than they could perceive. You see, how do we experience this love? We come to Jesus Christ, the one who opened up His arms and died on the cross for our sins, the one who showed us such great love that we can now display that kind of love to others. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to accept the payment that He paid for your sins out of His love for you. Accept the payment of His death, burial, and resurrection for your sins. That's what propitiation means. Payment for your sins when He died on the cross and rose again. So, if you don't know Him, He loves you. He wants to give you love so that you can display love to others. So, come to Him and you will get that love. Now, look at verse 12. It says, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit." Secondly, we can display Christian love by knowing where to receive Christ-like love. Now, this is pretty simple, but people can't see God, but they can see His love when we display love for one another. You know, we can't literally see God, but we can see His love when we display it for one another. However, we can't display this kind of love on our own. We have to have the Lord abiding in us and be going to Him constantly as our source for this kind of love. We must have Him abiding in us. We must have His Holy Spirit indwelling us to direct and motivate us to display Christian love. So in order to display Christian love, we have got to go to the source of true love, which is God Himself. If we are going to love others, we must have a close relationship with the Lord. And that's what He wants it to be. He wants it to be that we're so close to Him and His love that His love can shine right through us to others. And it's a great way to know how close you are to God. Are you willing to sacrifice your time and your talents and your life to love others? To love others like God really wants you to? That might show you how close you are to the Lord. Are you willing to love others? Or are you so wrapped up in yourself and what you want to do that you're not willing to compromise any of your time or talents or anything to love others. It's a good way to know how close you are to the Lord. I think it's important that we understand that. Are you patient with others? Or are you snappy and angry all the time? Are you bitter towards others? Think about that for a minute. You might need to get closer to the love of God. And we must ask God to show us the fullness of His love. We need His love. And He said He would. We know of the prayers that are answered when we ask Him to show us His love. He will. And He will fill us with His love. That's His will. It's His will, according to this passage, that we experience His love and that that love becomes so full in us that it is displayed to others. So if we ask Him to do that, do you think He's going to answer it? Absolutely. So let's start asking Him that. Sure, we can get convicted over, you know, not loving the way we ought to. But it shouldn't just end there. We should do something about it. And the best thing to do about it is ask the Lord to give you His love so that you can show it to others. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us display Christ-like love. Romans chapter 12 in verses 9 and 10 say this, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another." Now, think about that for a minute. How do we display love without hypocrisy? We display love without hypocrisy by having a close relationship with God that is directed by His Holy Spirit. So we can only display love without hypocrisy by it flowing from our relationship with God and directing us to His Holy Spirit. That is what He wants us to do. Ask Him to help us love and fill us with His love. Now, finally, in verses 14 through 16, back in chapter 4, it says, "And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love of that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." Finally, we can display Christian love by knowing the goals of Christ-like love. Now, displaying the love of Jesus accomplishes some wonderful things in our life. First of all, it validates our testimony. It validates our testimony. When we love others, it adds credibility to our witness. When we love others, it adds credibility to our witness. When we tell other people about the love of Jesus, but we act hateful and spiteful towards others, our witness is not very good. But if we tell people about the love of Jesus and that love shows in our lives, then our witness becomes excellent. It becomes excellent. With the score tied and only 3 points to go before the game ended, Tracy, an eighth grader, grabbed the ball and kept it from us. My first impulse was irritation. But then a scripture passage that our group had read that afternoon came to mind. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Gavin and I joked with Tracy until she finally tossed the ball back onto the table. We thanked her and finished the game. Hours later, after an evangelistic film, Tracy walked down the aisle with six others to receive Christ as Savior. Later that night, when we gathered for testimonies, Tracy said, "I grew up in a family where nobody goes to church. I've learned to get attention by making people mad at me. But earlier this evening, I saw something different." Gavin and I looked at each other and raised our eyebrows. "When I stole the ball from these guys," she said, pointing at us, "they didn't get mad at me. They didn't fight back. I decided right then that I wanted whatever it was that they have." You see how wonderful our witness of love can be to others? When we don't act like people expect us to act, but we act like Jesus wants us to act, when we do that, we validate our testimony. We validate that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what he wants us to do. That's why it says this here. That's why the proclamation of him being the Son of God and our command to love one another is linked together so closely in this passage. So secondly, in verse 15, it solidifies our fellowship with God. It solidifies our fellowship with God. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So there's this close fellowship that comes as we display Christ-like love. This close fellowship with God. You know, that's why you were created. The reason you were created was not so that God could make you a happy, joyful person. Now, he wants you to be happy. He wants you to be joyful. But he made you so that you would fellowship with him. That's what he made you for. Now, I guarantee as you fellowship with him and experience this close relationship with him, you're going to have happiness and joy in your life. But it comes as you love others and he is able to use you as an instrument of his love and fill you with his love. So this fellowship comes with loving others. And this is the reason you were created. And then thirdly, it builds our faith in the Lord. It builds our faith in the Lord. As we display Christ-like love, our faith in the Lord increases. Look at verse 16. It says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us." You see, this strengthens our faith in the Lord. When we love each other as Christ loved us, it strengthens our faith. When you love me like the Lord wants you to, it strengthens my faith in him. When I love you the way the Lord wants me to, it strengthens your faith in him. This is a faith-building activity, folks. So we must do this. There's so many wonderful things that come as we display Christ-like love to one another. It should motivate us to do so and to abstain from evil, from acting rudely, from being unkind, from being impatient. We should do this because there's so many wonderful benefits to it. And the goals that come from it are awesome. So let's be motivated by these wonderful results of displaying Christ-like love. So we can display Christian love by knowing the characteristics of Christ-like love, by knowing how to receive Christ-like love, and by knowing the goals of Christ-like love. I hope that we will take this passage to heart. I hope that we will see a great display of Christian love in our midst. That's what's going to keep us together. That's what's going to keep us on track for the Lord. That's the greatest thing in our Christian walk, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love. Let's make sure love defines our walk with the Lord. Let's make sure that love defines Beacon Church and what it stands for. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to do just that. Father, I thank You so much for this time together. Father, we need Your love. We cannot display this kind of love consistently unless You abide in us and dwell in us and guide us and motivate us to do so. Father, we call upon Your great Holy Spirit to empower us to do what You have called us to do in this passage, to love one another as Christ has loved us. What a daunting task, Lord. But I know that You don't call us to do something that You don't make possible for us to do. And I know that Your Holy Spirit will make it possible in our lives as we yield to the Spirit. Lord, I pray that You would fill us with Your love. I pray that Your love would be felt in our hearts and overflow to others.